Blog Talk Radio.
WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon-coming King awaits.
WATV.TV is proud to announce our very first show coming up November 7th at 7 p.m. It's called Toss, the original state show. It's a show about weight loss. It's bringing to the conversation to the table that the bride has an epidemic of being overweight. We are not ready for the harvest. We need to get our bodies under self-control and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit to bring in the harvest. Amen. This show will have a panel of three women ministers, Dr. June Knight from We Are the Bride Ministries, Chaplain Yolanda Walker from Trifold Ministries, and Prophetess Teresa Nichols from Three Sheep Ministries. These panels will feature guest ministers to talk about the various topics of what we're facing as the bride, especially ministers. This show is geared towards ministry leaders and how we need to get in shape for the harvest. So this show will feature preaching, prayer, and professional interviews from doctors, personal trainers, and therapists about weight loss for the Bride of Christ. We need to get our temple in order because the King is coming. Get in shape for the harvest and get our bodies under self-control and discipline. Amen, Bride. Listen, we can do this. We can do this. So get ready, Army. The harvest is coming. Amen. Before time began, our omnipotent and powerful God wrote our destiny book. He wrote our story to reveal to mankind another aspect of His glory. In this book, He means for our bodies to be in its original state. The enemy's plan is to cause the bride to distort the temple and cause those to be less efficient in the kingdom. Talk, the original state show, challenges the bride to take our temples back, gain self-control, and be all that God wrote in your book. Give God the pen and live your original state.
Welcome, Bride. This is Dr. June Knight with WATV Radio. I am so excited to be with you here tonight. I've got a very special guest. Give it up for Dr. Judy Laird. How you doing, Dr. Judy? Hello, Dr. Judy. I can't hear you, Dr. Judy. I pray everybody, can y'all hear me out there? Well, while she is calling back in, listen, I just want to tell you, Bride, a little bit about what we are doing in the kingdom starting January 1st through February the 10th. We are doing a 40-day fast for the bride. It's called the 2017 Prayer Initiative. The prayer initiative is where we are asking the bride to come in agreement with us and we are going to fast for 40 days. We're doing a liquid fast. The liquid fast meaning that we will do juices or just liquid, and if you have a dietary reason why you cannot do the liquid, then you're welcome to do any other type of fast. We are using the book Draw the Circle by Mark Batterson.
Amazing.
Hey, Dr. Judy, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How are you this evening?
Hey, doing good, Dr. Judy. We couldn't hear you last time. How are you doing tonight?
That is great. You know, tonight I'm so excited. You would not believe, I'm in a car right now, pulled over to the side of the road because I was determined we were going to have this broadcast because I feel such an expectancy of how we're going to end this year strong and 2017 with fasting and prayer. Everything is completely just unlimited because we serve such a limited God. You know, June, before we get started, I just wanted to share with you something. Joshua 3 and 5, it says, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do amazing things among you. And as I was, you know, just reaching out in the Holy Spirit and asking him, okay, Lord, how can we build a momentum to cause men and women that listen to this program, how can we build a momentum to let them know what is getting ready to take place in 2017 is going to be because of the discipline encounter of his presence and crucifying that flesh. And I'm sure most everybody has heard of, you know, the great revivalist Dwight L. Moody. He said that when he approached fasting and prayer, that challenge is what awakened revival throughout the land. And I believe, you know, according to Psalms, and I know you feel this, our cry is, wilt thou not revive us once again that your people can rejoice? What happens when you rejoice? You've received instructions. You've been infused with the power of the Holy Spirit for miracles, signs and wonders. And, you know, I'm so proud of America. And let me explain why. You know, all this year, from the West Coast to the East Coast to northern United States to the very tip of your southern borders, I saw the church so hungry for prayer and so determined that they were going to pray. And I believe through our challenges, it's just like, you know, you on the broadcast, you mentioned about, you know, working out and diet and all this. What I've decided or determined or really feel is the church in America is stronger than what it has ever been because we sought God, we prayed, we prophesied, we proclaimed the word of the Lord over this nation that it would be great again, and guess what? It is. So with all that said, I believe our challenge is to seek God, to advance the kingdom of God at the close of this year, on December 31st, 2016. We are going to finish strong because what is going to take place next year? We're going to see great and mighty exploits. And I'm excited about what's happening and going to happen in families, in the fivefold ministry, in media, in the marketplace. I just believe in the political, I believe in every capacity. You know, we're going to see some great things, but it's going to take a time of consecration, and it's a time that we're going to seek him no matter what. What do you feel about that, June? Do you feel an expectancy?
I feel a great expectancy, and let me tell you, I feel like God has given us mercy in our nation. I mean, yes, we deserve the judgment, but God has given us mercy, and I feel like he's given us this great window of opportunity for souls. Don't you, Dr. Judy?
Absolutely. You know, Dwight L. Moody said this, the world has yet to see what God will do with and for and through and in
and by the man or the woman who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. Don't you believe that when Jesus went on his 40-day fast, a time of consecration away from everybody in a desert, that is what empowered him with the greatest miracle signs and wonders. And John 14, I'm living for the day that John 14 is manifested, which, you know, Jesus said, the works that I have done, you're going to do even greater. June, it's now. I don't want to read about it. I don't want to talk about it. I want to experience it. I want to have an encounter where if some broken individual, say a son is a wayward son, or somebody's dying with cancer, or someone, it just seems so hopeless, I want to be the one to cast out those demons. I want to be the one to lay hands on that tumor where somebody is dying. I want to say, I command you in the name of Jesus to get up and walk. It's now. And for every major move of God in the history of the church, it took every one of them, if you go back and study, it took consecration and it took fasting and prayer. There's a book that was written by Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Graham Lotz. I'm excited. And it was about the Daniel fast. And you know what she said? The key to the move of God through Daniel is three times a day he was fasting and he prayed three times a day. And this is the key, you know, is we have to be committed. And June, are you committed to fast and pray these 40 days?
Yes, ma'am.
And then she said he was persistent and consistent. So, in other words, he was committed, Lord, whatever it takes. I know the law has said, you know, I can't do this, I can't pray. But he focused toward Jerusalem. And Ann Lotz had the most amazing story. Billy Graham's daughter said that during her lifetime, as a family, they would go up to the hills and to the and head toward the mountains about every weekend when their father was not evangelizing. But when she became a teenager, she went up with a group of people, a group of friends, and they got lost. And this is where sometimes we get lost seeking God for direction and seeking God for his will. But the word of God says he's a light and a lamp to our feet and to our path. And so what she said was, all of a sudden, a friend of hers, and because they were beginning to panic, pulled out a compass and pointed north. And you know what? I believe when we look to the hills, Psalms 121, when we look to the hills from which cometh our help, knowing that the God that we serve is not a God of sleep nor slumber, but he is omnipotent, he hears the cry. That's why Jesus wrote, you know, in Matthew, I love all of Matthew, but in particular where he says, seek him and you'll find him. Knock, the door will be open. Ask, and you'll receive the answer. And probably one of the most amazing statements, and I want to challenge whoever's listening tonight, go purchase the book, The Circle Maker, because Pastor Mark Batterson out of Washington, D.C., it's an amazing journey of circling the city of Washington, D.C. after his church in, I believe, Chicago had failed. However, one of the key things he said was this: the saddest thing or the most tragic thing in all the world is prayers that God wants to answer that you don't pray or that are never prayed. And, you know, that'll make you think, God, what that I need to pray and you want to answer. I don't want to be the woman that never prays what I'm supposed to be praying.
Right, amen.
And so to start this year off, you know, I believe that there's going to be a momentum. I'm getting calls from intercessors. I was on the phone internationally today, and I see a passion and a compassion to seek God as never before. And when Jesus came out of the wilderness, not only was he infused with power from on high, that's when he went and gathered his disciples. And it's time for the body of Christ as never before to come together in the power of unity and understand covenant with one another.
Yes.
And, you know, even in walking in covenant, we can agree to disagree. But when we keep our focus, I believe that there's so many things that are going to happen in the church and in America. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to seek the Lord. And, you know, I want to challenge some that are listening when you say 40-day fast. How could I do it? You know, this is the whole thing. Anything that is worth having is worth fighting for. And in that fight, you're crucifying your flesh. And in the Word of God, he never asks us to do something we can't do. Is it hard? Yes. Will there be times of temptation? But at the end of that fast, I promise you, based on other moves of God that I could name off, you know, here in America and also overseas, consecration, fasting, and prayer is the key. And we've got to discipline ourselves to do it.
Yes. Now, can you explain to the bride, maybe there's people out there that do not understand fasting. Can you explain to them what happens in the spirit when we fast and deny our flesh?
Well, one of the best, and here again, I want to recommend a book, and I have read it several times, and I never read it that it doesn't propel me into the tenacity and the perseverance to fast. And there's an amazing man of God, Jensen Franklin, wrote a book on the one that he wrote. He wrote one about fasting, then he wrote one about the cutting edge, and then he wrote one about the 21 days of fast. And so what I generally do, and, you know, with so many ways to look up stuff with media, you know, go on Google something, whatever. There are so many things that you can do online. And how I prepare myself is I'll begin to, like right now, here it is, December the 15th. You know, we've got, 16 more days to the end of December. And, yes, we've got Christmas and we've got our family and we've got, you know, all those things. But every day what I've started doing, just as simple as this, I'll begin to say, Lord, you speak to me what you want me to do, and you put the right material or the right people in my path to set me on the course. Because there's something about unity. You know, I want to challenge any of you, like just like June and I, this just didn't happen. I believe that the sovereign Holy Spirit quickened this to Dr. June Knight and to myself, and to cause people to rally together, to rally the troops, because, you know, we don't want to just see God move in our lives. We want to see God move in every individual's life. We want to see destiny awaken. And your most valuable possession is your time with God and your time with God alone. And so what I do is I'll start reading like a couple of scriptures. This morning when I awakened out of nowhere, I heard the three words, surrender, solace, and sovereign. Surrender to God, and also that there is a place of solitude. There's a place that you can go. There's a place where, to me, he is so sovereign that when I get with him, it's a place where God can do far more than me going to. I'll tell you what, I love conferences, been doing them for 20-something years, but a time of prayer, a designated time of prayer and fasting will release to you revelatory knowledge and direction in your life that's never happened before. And this is a new day. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, for every activity under the heavens, there is a season. This is going to be a new season of great and mighty exploits. And so generally what I'll do is I will start. Jensen Franklin, like I said, is amazing. He challenges his whole church to a 21-day fast, and it's the Daniel's fast of fruits and vegetables and nuts. Some people, you know, they have to pray and seek the Lord. For me, what works best for me is when I do liquids like we have discussed. But it might not be for somebody else to do. And it's not about the specifics of it as much as the heart of surrender and the power of being prostrate. You know, the prerequisite to the power of God in my life or anybody's life, it's humility. It's that humble, contrite heart. And that's what happened to Jesus. You know, when he went away, he got by himself, and look what happened, you know. And it was that way when almost any fast. When the prophets of old, when they would fast and seek God, there would be things that would happen. And actually what you're doing to me is you're fine-tuning your heart and your ears to hear the voice of the Lord, to tell you. And let me say this. You will be challenged. I mean, all of a sudden, and we can laugh about, you know me, June, I love seafood. Somebody will call and say, man, I want to take you out to eat tonight. And I'm going, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, somebody will come over and they'll say, you know, I just baked you this beautiful banana pudding or whatever. But you still, God will give you the ability to resist temptation. And that's the word. No temptation will come our way that God won't leave a way of escape. I've seen people, and I've had this happen in years past. I would start a 40-day fast, and it would be, you know, fruits and vegetables, juices, that type thing. And maybe about the 19th day, generally every 7 days, there will be a challenge. I don't know why that is, because I'm not a medical doctor. But every time you get ready to have that little breakthrough, you will be tested. You got to make sure you have proper sleep. It's good to drink plenty of water during the fast. But I do know this. If you make up your heart, if you make up your mind, make up your heart, you're going to do this, it will happen. And even if you come up short into the fast, you know what I do? And this has happened to me before. I'm just being very transparent. I have, you know, been doing it and would be great, and all of a sudden I would have some real challenges, or I would feel like just this hunger would come. And maybe I would eat something, and then I would feel under such condemnation. But the next day I would say, Lord, I want to get back on this thing. I want to do what's right. Give me the grace. Because when I can't hold on to God, God holds on to me. And here again, it's not about a a lot of people think fasting and consecration is legalism. No, it's not. It's the example of the way Jesus and the disciples lived and the things that they did. It was a cost. The call of God on your life will cost you everything, but the reward is worth every sacrifice you make. So I want to challenge every one of y'all to go get one of the books by Jensen Franklin. Go on Amazon, get the circle maker, and be determined to draw your circle like the walls of Jericho. When they circle those walls, most people don't even know, June, they circle the wall 6 days and once a day, but on the seventh day is when they circled it seven times. And instead of Mark Batterson makes this statement, instead of them wavering and giving up, guess what? They had an attitude of consecration and determination, and their faith got stronger and stronger. So what you and I, we're going to be praying for the listening audience, for our friends, our families. We're going to say, you know what? Every day, Lord, give them the strength to persevere, to be determined, to stay consistent, persistent and committed, and let them have that breakthrough.
Well, I'm showing them the book, the ones that are watching live right now. I'm showing them the book, Draw the Circle by Mark Batterson. I want you to tell the listening audience and the viewing audience when you went to Washington yourself, after you read the Circle Maker book, when you went to Washington, what kind of experience was that?
Well, let me back up just a little bit. My youngest son is a pastor at Gateway in Dallas. And long story short, when they left the Baton Rouge area, a powerful woman of God gave my daughter-in-law and my son the book, The Circle Maker. And I just confess this right now. For 2 years, my daughter-in-law, who is very passionate about prayer, and she knows that, you know, that's a lifestyle for all of us, kept telling me, you got to read this book. You got to read this book. Well, guess what? When something is God's will, he will do whatever it takes to get your attention. And so a year ago when I moved to Dallas, I was on a couch going to sleep one night and rolled over, and the book was right in my face. And it was like, okay, are you going to read the book now? It's here. And, of course, my daughter-in-law, nobody put it there. It was just, it was one of those Kairos moments where, you know, a point of decision. It's either now or never. And I picked up that book, and I started reading it, and I couldn't put it down. And that was the beginning of me seeking God about the condition of my heart, wanting to make sure that I didn't have anything in my heart against anyone, and that I would be willing to make the sacrifices to circle like the wall of Jericho. And so in that, the course of months, I found myself in Washington, D.C., with two other prophets, and we walked the streets. And I had determined in my heart that if at all possible, I was going to go to a coffee house that Pastor Martin Batterson owns, not, you know, right down the street from where his church is. And I went there, and when I sat there, I began to cry. And it tells it all in the book, some of the things that have happened. And what this young man did several years ago, like I said, his church in Chicago, it wasn't where God wanted him. And he ends up in Washington, D.C., against all odds. You see, sometimes the enemy will do everything in his power to cause you to waver, to be weak, to, you know. But in our struggles, like I said earlier, we get stronger. So he starts walking the streets in Washington, D.C. And today, as we talk, June, he has six churches, a coffee house. He's a part of the political arena in Washington, D.C. And every one of these books is just unbelievable to inspire. And so I started walking the streets in Washington, D.C. We were praying. This was in August, and as we prayed, I'll be honest with you, something happened to me when we went to the Capitol, when we went to Arlington Cemetery, when we went to the Lincoln Memorial, and I ended up with a young woman that does worship for them that I didn't even know I had prophesied to. And out of all the days of the year and all the people that I could have seen, it was like, okay, Judy, I'm trying to take you someplace. I'm trying to lead you in a direction that you've never been before, of consistency, of, you know, of being committed. And so with all of that said, probably when this book awakened to me to another level is I kept hearing these words about the saddest thing in all the world is prayers that God wants to answer that we never pray. And we were there. We stayed in a military home while we were there. We prayed, of course, for the political arena, for protection, for America, for Israel. I mean, you name it, we were praying it. I felt like that God put the keys to the kingdom in our hands of binding and loosening because of this particular, you know, being obedient to what God told us to do. But when I went to Arlington Cemetery, and it's really unusual that we would be on this phone and me sharing this tonight. This happened back in August, and tomorrow I'm doing a memorial for a brother-in-law in a military service, and I've never done anything like that before. But while we were in Washington, D.C., we went, and all of a sudden, 200-300 yards in front of us, I heard a 21-gun salute. And after that 21-gun salute, they sang. And then with my own eyes, I saw a woman, which I believe was a mother, presented with a flag because either her son or her daughter had died in the military. And the only thing I can tell you is, June, I hit my knees on the concrete there, as well as the two other ladies, Yvonne Walker and Susan Harris. We knelt, and I began to cry out to God. I said, God, I never want to come up short. I never want to be too busy that I can't take the time to pray for, number one, of course, your family, number two, you know, your nation, ministry, you know, the need of the people. Let me never shut up my bowels of compassion. And we started just, I couldn't stop crying. And I think it was an aha moment for me, if that makes any sense. It was one of those defining moments that I knew I didn't want to ever be, I didn't want to ever come up short in being obedient to what the Holy Spirit was leading me to do. We left there. I ended up in San Francisco, walking the streets praying. As you know, my son's we're planting a church there called Sozo. And then from there, I ended up in Columbus, Ohio, at the Upper Room Encounter with an amazing man of God. And just all these different, but it's all about the encounter, consecration, prayer, fasting, your personal time with God so God can speak and awaken. And, you know, I really do believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit, based on a prophecy that was spoken by Smith Wigglesworth to Lester Sumrall in 1939. Everybody knows that I'm really passionate about this. He said that in the last days revival, the gifts of the Holy Spirit will go to a measure of definition and just being so precise. And if it takes time to consecrate yourself, in fact, it's not just about you getting something for yourself. It's far greater than that. I believe the 2017 fast and time of prayer initiative is going to awaken all of our purposes, our destiny, to a place that we've never known before. And I totally believe when the Lord spoke to me, you know, everybody's asking me, what has God shown you for the year? He's told me that we will finish this year strong. Some of you that are listening are battling probably all kind of things. You know, you might be fighting your greatest battle, but don't fear, because if God be for you, it doesn't matter what comes against you. You may be having physical challenges. You may be having marital challenges. You may be having financial challenges. And I'm not minimizing anything, but anything worth fighting for is what it's gonna we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and it all has to do with the time of consecration. So I believe with every fiber of my being, just like I will face these words, I believe this is a year we're going to finish strong. I'm not going to be moved by what it looks like. I'm not going to be moved by what I've heard. I challenge every one of you, take your hand and put it on your heart. And I challenge you to only be moved by what you believe. And so I'm asking you, what do you believe? Because we're going to do great and mighty exploits. Jim, what do you believe? I know you have, you know, a lot of new doors have opened for you. You're in a place where favor is just really coming. We've got that international conference going on. But what do you believe right now is going to take place in your life to impact our nation and the kingdom of God, your family, your friends? What do you believe is going to happen?
I believe we're on the verge of such greatness. I believe that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. I believe we're about to step into our wealth and achieve the destiny. And all of those, Dr. Judy, that have been in the caves, that have been hidden, that have been through the fire and the testing and the trials, I believe that God's about to rise up the ones that have not had a voice. God's raising them up to have a voice in this hour. And, Bride, I want to tell y'all this. I wrote this on the We Are the Bride page today about what we are going to pray for 40 days. I said, we are bombarding the heavens on behalf of our new president-elect, Donald Trump, our nation, the bride of Christ, and the great revival that is coming. And for each of us personally, we will pray for our destinies to be fulfilled in 2017 and that we will be all that we can be in Christ with nothing holding us back. Is that true, Dr. Judy?
Absolutely. And you know something else, June? The Holy Spirit is just quickening this to me, and I'm hoping that this will release some hope to some that are listening. And you know this to be a fact. On July 31st at 5 p.m. in the afternoon, as I awakened, I had preached a morning service at a church, and I was getting ready to preach the evening service, and out of nowhere, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And this is for some of you that are listening tonight. He told me, he said, prophesy to the body of Christ that there is a shift that's taking place, and in this shift, I will remove the shame off of families, off of ministries, off of businesses, and when I restore, it'll be better than before. There's a lot of families that have been through some devastating situations. There's a lot of ministries that have gone through, they're ready to throw in the towel, but they can't. But usually the ones that are going to do great things for God are the ones that enemy, that should be a sign to them that they're doing something right and to just keep seeking and pursuing God. When I prophesied that and had the altar call that night, the altars were filled. And what amazed me so was by speaking this shift, speaking this shame and reproach being removed, speaking that no matter what, be like Stephen when Saul and all of them were stoning him to death, and the heavens opened and Jesus, you know, spoke. I mean, Jesus waited to see what he was going to say, and he said, don't even hold it to their account. You know, walk in forgiveness no matter what. Forgiveness doesn't mean that it's, you know, forgiveness just keeps your heart. Unforgiveness keeps you holding on to past things that have happened. And June, within less than a month, never dreaming of a family that I know very well, where there had been accusation, where there had been shame, where there had been lies, all I can tell you is I watched that family with restoration of what would have appeared to be completely impossible, with honor, with everything just the opposite of shame, reproach, failure, lies. I watched every bit of it in one service that I had attended. I watched every bit of it be completely shifted. And all I can tell you is when God restores, it's better than before. And I believe that this is where we are. We're going to finish this year strong. And you're going to see, it's something that's going to, the Lord keeps quickening that word catapult. And I believe that from even this tonight, we're going to hear that there's going to be some that all of a sudden they've got hope and their faith is awakened, and you know I'm not with God all things are possible, and these are the kind of things that are going to take place before the end of the year. If your family, if your ministry, if you feel like your life is in shambles, hold on to God and realize with God all things are possible.
Yes.
And you're not just a winner, you're not just a conqueror. Look at the definition of what God says. Have an identity crisis to know you're more than a conqueror. You are not the tail, you're the head. You're destined for greatness. Before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, He knew in the sovereignty of God that you would be listening to this word of encouragement to say, come on, bride, come on, it's time for us to get ready to go in and possess the land, circle the walls, look to the hills, arise and shine and know that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, and you are not alone.
Yes, amen.
I'm ready, June.
I am too, and Dr. Judy, I know you have to go because you've got that funeral you have to do. But, Bride, I want you to stay on because I'm going to read a little bit of the intro from Draw the Circle, the book that we're going to be working out of so that you can understand how this book is going to impact your life. And, Dr. Judy, before you get off here, I want to read this from Circle Maker. And it says on page 18 under the All Bets Are Off, it says, miracles are the byproduct of prayers that were prayed by you or for you. Is that not amazing?
And that's why Pastor Mark always says, the saddest thing is prayers that God wants to answer that have never been prayed. I want to challenge everyone also. You know, June, I bought us, and I've been giving people vision boards. Because it's time to dream again. And there's something about the visual of a board where you put your dreams. A young lady many years ago, I challenged her to do this, and it had to do with her family. It had to do with not having a husband. It had to do, and I asked her, I said, what is your dream? And how God has blessed her life financially, spiritually, with her children, with all these different kinds of things. And the other day, I pulled out that vision board. I had a picture of it, and they lost everything in the storm here in Baton Rouge. And I told her, I said, it's time to bring the vision board out again. And I said, it's time for us to dream again. I used the expression, dream baby dream, or dream bride dream. And
right.
Yes, and I totally believe I wouldn't be saying these words. And, you know, just like part of my dream, right now we're going to have a broadcast called Voice of Hope, where I'm literally going to major cities here in America. And when I say major, I'm not talking about the size. I'm talking about a major need that needs a voice of hope. And so, you know, I challenge you, whatever your dream is, whatever your desire is, whatever you want for your family, I just told all three of my children, if we aim high, we will hit high. Because the reason I say aim high, and I'm looking at I'm outside in the car looking at the huge moon. I am looking beyond the moon to God because He is my source. And there's three things, June, God cannot do. He cannot fail. He cannot lie. And He's never late. He cannot fail. If He's told you He's going to do something and you are doing life God's way, think about that. Cannot fail, He cannot lie, and He's never late. And 2017, if you were to add the numbers 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 7, you would get the number 10. And the number 10 means complete. What is it that by fasting and prayer and seeking the Lord, for 40 days, what is it God wants to complete in your life?
That is powerful, Dr. Judy.
I love you, and I love the bride, and you know, I'm excited. You'll hear more. Get the book, Draw the Circle, get the Circle Maker. You can even go to Hobby Lobby right now and try to get the book on Jensen Franklin. Is that a lot? Yeah, but guess what? I'm ready to skip 2 days of meals or eating out to be able to have my library filled with the Word of God that I can stand on. A leader can't take you someplace they've never been. And Franklin,
right.
Jensen Franklin and Mark Dyson, they got the good. So I'm ready to follow them. Amen. And stand
all
on
right,
God's Word. Love you. Love you. Good night.
We're going to go to commercial, and you have a good evening.
God bless.
All right, God bless you. Okay, Bride, hold on, and I'm going to read a little bit of the book we're going to be studying after the commercial break.
Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org.
Okay, Bride, I'm going to read you a little bit so we can get ready for this 40-day fast. I am reading, first I want to read this little excerpt out of The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson. It says, God won't do it unless you pray for it. We have not because we ask not. Or maybe I should say, we have not because we circle not. The greatest tragedy in life is the prayers that go unanswered because they go unasked. Amen. Okay, Bride, now I'm going to read a little bit from Draw the Circle, The 40-Day Prayer Challenge by Mark Batterson. Now, this is the book that me and Dr. Judy are going to go into depth with on the 40-day fast starting January the 1st. And like I said, we are doing this so we can come together in unity and achieve all the dreams and goals that God has called us to. Amen. So the book starts out the introduction. The 40-Day Prayer Challenge is going to change your life. In fact, the next 40 days have the potential to dramatically alter the rest of your life. God is going to begin a good work in you, and He is going to carry it out to completion. Miracles that happen in your life decades from now will trace their origin back to this season of prayer. Wow! Can I say wow? That is awesome. Breakthroughs that happen during these 40 days will become generational blessings that live on long after you die. Wow. Isn't that amazing, Brian? If you press into God's presence like never before, you will experience God like never before. You'll look back on these 40 days as the best 40 days of your life. They won't be the easiest 40 days. In fact, they may be the hardest. Don't be surprised if you experience spiritual opposition along the way, but if you pray through, God will break through in new ways. It's as inevitable as the tide coming in. There is nothing magical about 40 days, but there is something biblical about it. That's the number of days Jesus spent in the wilderness fasting and praying. It marked a critical chapter in His life, the transition from His earthly Father's business to His heavenly Father's business. Jesus was tested like never before, but this experience set the stage for His greatest victories over the enemy. The war against sin and Satan may have been won on Calvary's cross, but a key battle happened in the wilderness 3 years earlier. When Jesus returned to Galilee, He wasn't the same person. You won't be either. You'll emerge from this 40-day prayer challenge just like Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want God to do something new in you, you cannot keep doing the same old thing. You have to do something different. And if you do, God will create new capacities within you. There will be new gifts and new revelations, but you've got to pray the price. You'll get out of this what you put into it. Did you hear that, Bride? You'll get out of this fasting and prayer what you put into it. How to start a revival. Draw the Circle is a sequel of sorts. Since the release of The Circle Maker, I've heard hundreds of prayer testimonies that have set my faith on fire. Almost every day I hear a new story that makes me want to applaud God. This book is my way of stewarding those testimonies by sharing them. I've also learned more about prayer since The Circle Maker was released than the knowledge I had beforehand. I'll share these new discoveries in the pages that follow. So let me pick up where The Circle Maker left off. Rodney Gypsy Smith was born on the outskirts of London in 1860. He never received a formal education, yet he lectured at Harvard. Despite his humble beginnings, he was invited by two sitting United States presidents to the White House. Gypsy crisscrossed the Atlantic Ocean 45 times, preaching the gospel to millions of people, and he never preached without someone surrendering to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. Gypsy was powerfully used of God everywhere he went. It seemed like revival was right on his heels. But it wasn't his preaching that brought revival. It never is. Come on now, bride. Preaching may move the hearts of men, but praying moves the hearts of God. And that's where revival comes from. Gypsy revealed his secret to a delegation of revival seekers who sought an audience with him. They wanted to know how they could make a difference with their lives the way he had with his. His answer was simple yet profound. As timely and timeless now as it was 100 years ago, he gave them this advice. Go home, lock yourself in your room, kneel down in the middle of the floor, and with a piece of chalk, draw a circle around yourself. There on your knees, pray fervently and brokenly that God would start a revival within that chalk circle. Isn't that amazing, bride? Start circling. I have a confession to make. I have a confession to make. Even though I wrote a book on prayer and my personal prayer life was thriving, I failed to lead our church in corporate prayer for 15 years. That changed this year, and everything changed with it. We completed our first 40-day prayer challenge at National Community Church, and on a corporate level, it completely changed our church culture. It ranks as the most significant season of spiritual growth in our 15-year history. And on a personal level, I'm not who I was when we started. As we prepared for the 40-day challenge, I believe that God wanted our church to circle 2 Chronicles 7:14 by hitting our knees every day at 7:14 a.m. I explained to our church that the time in and of itself wasn't significant, but offered a daily reminder of the promise we were circling in prayer. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. On the first day of the prayer challenge, I dropped to my knees right after I got out of bed. This daily habit didn't stop on day 40. In fact, I'll do it the rest of my life. Please read this carefully. The goal of the 40-day prayer challenge isn't to get what you want by day 40. In fact, the goal isn't to get what you want at all. Did you hear that, bride? It's not to get what you want. That is profound. The goal is to figure out what God wants, what God wills. Then you start circling it in prayer and don't stop until God answers. Too often we pray ASAP prayers as soon as possible. We need to start praying ALAT prayers as long as it takes. The goal of the prayer challenge is to establish a prayer habit so you're still praying on day 41, day 57, day 101, and day 365. Here's the logistics of the prayer challenge, bride. Who should I do the prayer challenge with? You may want to consider a church-wide challenge, which is what we're doing, bride, basically. Or turn your small group into a prayer circle. You can do this challenge with your family or with your friends, but whatever you do, don't do it alone. What should I circle? Don't feel bad if you don't know what to circle on day one. One of the biggest misconceptions about prayer is that it means outlining our agenda to God as a divine to-do list. The true purpose of prayer is to get into God's presence so he can outline his agenda for us. Here's my advice. Pray about what to pray about. God will reveal a promise, a problem, or a person. Then circle whatever God has prompted you to pray for with the same kind of consistency with which the earth circles the sun. Too often we pray for something once and then completely forget about it. So when God answers, we fail to give him the glory because we forget we even asked for it. That is the truth, ain't it, Brian? I am guilty of that, yes, Lord. That's one reason why you need to journal during these 40 days. Document your prayers and how God answers them. If you don't have a journal, pick up a copy of the Circle Maker Prayer Journal. It'll help you not just to pray, but to pray through. During our 40-day prayer challenge, different people circled different things. We saw prodigals come back to God after years of running away. Marriages were restored. Job opportunities opened up. Provision for financial needs came out of nowhere. Divine appointments happened on a daily basis, and there were even a few miraculous healings. When should I take the challenge? You can do this anytime. But the important thing is to establish a start date or end date, which we did January 1st. A 40-day prayer challenge is a great way to begin a new year or to end a year. At NCC, we approach Lent as a way of beginning the spiritual journey to Easter. This past year, I coined the word Experlent. Ah, that is funny. Because we wanted to see what would happen if we circled one promise for 40 days and God delivered. You'll read about it in the devotion for day 34. You can also leverage a birthday or holiday. A 40-day fast leading up to my 35th birthday was a turning point in my life. I turned my birthday into a self-imposed deadline that yielded my first book. Where should I pray? It's important to make a daily appointment with God by determining a time and place to pray. If it helps, put the appointment in your calendar or set an alarm. I recommend that you give God the first few minutes of the day. When I pray at the beginning of the day, it's like my whole day becomes a prayer. When I dial into God's frequency in the morning, I hear his still, small voice the rest of the day. Amen to that when you walk in prayer. I also recommend a corporate gathering for prayer. Kick it off with a night of prayer and praise. Yes, we should do that, Bride. On January 1st, we should do a day of prayer and praise. Then sustain the moment with daily gatherings. Our 7:14 a.m. weekday gatherings, prayer gatherings, not only create tremendous synergy, they are also a way to hold me accountable. Amen. We should do that, Bride. Find out about prayer. In 1952, a Princeton doctoral student asked Albert Einstein a question. What original research is left? I'm intrigued and inspired by Einstein's answer. Find out about prayer. Amen. That is the challenge on the table. Find out about prayer. My prayer for you is that each day on this journey will yield a new discovery. Those discoveries will change the way you pray. And when you change the way you pray, everything else changes. Few people had a more profound impact on the spiritual climate of America in the last half of the 20th century than Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. He championed evangelism and discipleship from college campuses to foreign mission fields and influenced millions of people through the organization he started and the books he wrote. In 1994, Dr. Bright felt led to do a 40-day fast for revival in America. The man who went into the prayer circle and the man who came out were two different people. Wow! His faith soared. He sensed God's presence like never before, and biblical truths went from his mind to his heart to his soul. In his own words, this proved to be the most important 40 days of my life. I believe the same thing will be true for you. Draw the circle. Yay, Bride, I'm so excited. Draw the circle, Mark Batterson. Listen, I got it on Amazon. If you have the Amazon Prime, you can get it for like $9. And, it comes within 2 days. So I encourage you, Bride, to read The Circle Maker first, the book that goes before it, because it will charge you up about your dreams and about prayer. And listen, Bride, I just want to say, on behalf of We Are the Bride Ministries, you know, we have interviewed over 250 ministers. It's probably getting close to 300 now, but over the past couple of years, and It has been amazing what I have heard the Holy Spirit say through all these ministries, because we give them freedom to just preach what they want. And then I hear the Holy Spirit through them. And what I'm hearing the Holy Spirit say now through the bride is that we are stepping into an unprecedented time in America and in the world, but especially in America, because God heard our prayers and He granted us mercy. So we are going into a very awesome time that we have been praying about for a long time. And also wealth and money is about to hit the bride so that we can do the mission that God has called us to. Amen. So we will be able to accomplish the mission. All the ministers that I have prayed for on this broadcast and asked God, give them the money they're going to need to accomplish that mission. God is truly about to do it, bride. And I just want to thank you personally for all of you that have given to me and to this house that I moved into and everything. Thank you so much. I really love you, bride, and I'm really excited about 2017. I'm excited about this fast. I'm expecting God to move in great and mighty ways. Amen. So we are going to do this. I may even devote every day of the broadcast to this. I don't know. But I will definitely be doing a lot on my Facebook wall. Okay, bride, well, thank you so much, and God bless you. Thank you for tuning in with us tonight on WATB Radio. Check us out on the web at www.watbradio.com. We're also on Twitter and on Facebook at WATB Radio. Thank you, bride. God bless you.